We have to show a sense of responsibility, twitchy Claudia Doan said after she surfaced from the sense of eyes. Both the Confederation Navy and the Lord of Ruin must be told. The AV cylinder on her desktop processor block chimed. Thank you for your consideration, Tranquility said. I have informed Eone Saldana about Latin's reappearance. I suggest you contact Commander Olson Neal yourself to convey the contents of the fleck. Right away, Claudia Doan said diligently. Matthias Rems was glancing nervously round the office, disturbed by the reminder of the Habitat personality's perpetual vigilance. Claudia Doan broke the news on the lunchtime program. $18 billion Fuser dollars was wiped off share values on Tranquility's trading floor within quarter of an hour of the sense of eyes being broadcast. Values crept back up during the rest of the afternoon as brokers assessed possible war scenarios. By the end of the day, $7 billion Fuser dollars had been restored to prices, mainly on Astro Engineering companies which would benefit from armament sales. The Time Universe office had done its work well, considering the short period it had in which to prepare. Its current affairs channel's usual afternoon schedule was replaced by library memories of Latin's earlier activities and earnest studio panel speculation. While Tranquility's residents were being informed, Claudia Doan started hiring starships to distribute copies of Graham Nicholson's fleck across the Confederation. This time she had a small lever against the captains, unlike Ione's very public appearance. She had a monopoly on Latin's advent, and they were bidding against each other to deliver flecks. By the evening she had dispatched 18 starships to various planets, Kulu, Avon, Oshanko, and Earth being the principals. Those Time Universe offices would in turn send out a second wave of flecks. 2 weeks ought to see the entire Confederation brought up to speed. And warned, Claudia Doan thought. Time Universe alone alerting the human and Xenoc races to the resurgent danger. A greater boost to company fortunes simply wasn't possible. She took the whole office out to a 5-star meal that night. This coup, following so soon after Ione, should bring them all some heady bonuses, as well as boosting them way ahead of their contemporaries on the promotion scale. She was already thinking of a seat on the board for herself. But it was a hectic afternoon. Matthias Rems, making his debut as a frontline presenter, introduced 40-year-old recordings of the broken Edenist habitat Jantrit. Its shell cracked like a giant egg where the antimatter had detonated. Its atmosphere jetted out of a dozen breaches in the 500-meter-thick polyp, huge grey-white plumes which acted like rockets destabilizing the cylinder's ponderous rotation. The wobble built over the period of a few hours until it developed into an uncontrollable tumble. On the outside, induction cables lashed round in anarchic 100-kilometer arcs, preventing even the most agile Voidhawks from rendezvousing. Inside, water and soil were tossed about, acting like a permanent floating earthquake. Star scrapers, weakened by the blast, broke off like rotten icicles, whirling away at terrific velocities, and all the while their air grew thinner. Some people were saved, as the Voidhawks and Adamist starships hurtled after the spinning star scrapers. 8,000 out of a population of 1.25 million. Even then, utter disaster might have been averted. The dying Edenists should have transferred their memories into the habitat personality. But Latin had infected Jantrit's neuron structure with his proteanic virus, and its rationality was crumbling as trillions upon trillions of cells fell to the corruption every second. The other two habitats orbiting the gas giant were too far away to provide much assistance. Personality transference was a complex function. Distance and panic confused the issue. 27,000 Edenists managed to bridge the gulf. 3,000 patterns were later found to be incomplete, reduced to traumatized childlike entities. Voidhawk secured another 280 personalities, but the Bitech starships didn't have the capacity to store any more, and they were desperately busy anyway chasing the star scrapers. For Edenists, it was the greatest tragedy since the founding of their culture. Even Adamists were stunned by the scale of the disaster. A living, sentient creature 35 kilometers in length, mind-raped and killed. Nearly 1.25 million people killed, over 500,000 stored personality patterns wiped. And it had all been a diversion, a tactic to enable Latham and his cohorts to flee without fear of capture after their coup failed. He used the community's deaths as a cover